for the Medical Journal of Australia, I'm Kate Swanell. Cannabis is the illicit drug most widely used by women of reproductive age in Australia. With the increasing acceptance of medicinal cannabis and the more widespread legalisation of marijuana, also come concerns that in some quarters, cannabis is being marketed as a safe treatment for morning sickness. An international study led by researchers in Adelaide investigated whether cannabis use during pregnancy was associated with adverse neonatal outcomes that are independent of cigarette smoking. Lead author of that study, Dr. Luke Greskowiak, is a conjoint research fellow at the Robinson Research Institute at the University of Adelaide. He's my special guest today. What made you decide to do this research, Luke? Was there a gap in the evidence, in the knowledge?
Really, we came about with a focus on this because of increased social acceptance around cannabis use in the general community. And that's partly driven by the push towards sort of medical use of cannabis in a variety of different settings, yep. But also partly from the increase in the number of places where cannabis use is being legalised.
Yes.
People are seeing that and then thinking, generating this overall perception that cannabis is a safe drug. And that in part's been fueled by a vocal pro-cannabis advocacy movement. And so really, we're seeing increasing numbers of women of reproductive age using cannabis and, of course, entering into pregnancy with a history of previous or current cannabis use. And that raises questions around, well, what's the potential harms of that, if any, in pregnancy? And you go looking for the data. You find a lot of animal studies that show clear evidence of harm in an animal study, but we know there's always challenges linking animal studies to their relevance to humans.
Of course.
We go looking for studies in humans, and what we find is that it's quite conflicting and mixed, and there's a number of big issues with the previous studies. Some of them are quite old, from 70s, 80s or 90s, and are no longer sort of contemporary or reflective of current potency of cannabis,
yeah.
Which has changed quite dramatically,
yes.
Or sort of usage pattern. There's also issues around accounting for some of the other behaviours that tend to sort of co-occur in women taking cannabis, so things like smoking cigarettes, and not all studies have appropriately accounted for that. And then lots of studies haven't looked at things like timing of use during pregnancy, frequency, mm-hmm. or amounts of cannabis use. So really we sought to address a lot of those limitations and build on those to try and get a better understanding of what the potential harms might be.
Do we know how many Australian women of reproductive age use cannabis?
Yeah, it's a great question. We've got data from a 2016 National Drug Strategy Household Survey, which probably gives us the best indication of potential use. And that study showed that 10% of women of reproductive age mm-hmm. had used cannabis in the preceding 12 months. Unfortunately, we don't have any good data on what the estimate is in terms of women who are pregnant,
yes.
or are planning a pregnancy. And so that's a big gap. We really don't know. But what's really interesting is there's a lot of data coming from overseas, particularly from countries that have a long history of legalisation or have recently switched their models to make cannabis legal. So places like Canada, people have done research and shown that over the past few years, there's been a up to a doubling in the number of women who are using cannabis during pregnancy.
Wow.
And that's largely driven by a dramatic increase in general use in the community. And of course, that raises a number of concerns for us.
Tell us a little bit about your study design, Luke. Why did you decide to go the way you went?
We were using data from a prospective pregnancy cohort study, and that was called the SCOPE study, or the Screening for Pregnancy Endpoints. And really that was originally designed over a decade ago now to look at identifying factors associated with common pregnancy complications, including preterm birth, preeclampsia, gestational diabetes, or small for gestational age. Now, as part of that large study, they collected a lot of information around various behaviours, including cigarette smoking and the use of cannabis. So overall, we had data from just over 5,600 pregnant women in their first pregnancy who were considered to be low risk. So we got rid of women who had a clear known risk factor for some of these pregnancy complications. Now, at 14 to 16 weeks of pregnancy, which is really their first antenatal care visit, these women were seen by a research midwife, and that's where we collected a lot of detail around the use of various substances and other issues as well. It was self-reported cannabis use, which is an important thing to note, of course,
yes,
as part of the study. But we feel that that's a pretty good assessment of total cannabis use. Now, the women were recruited internationally, so some from Adelaide, where I am, and others from the United Kingdom,
yep,
New Zealand, and also from Ireland. So we got a large sort of distribution, and it's the majority of cannabis users did come from Australia and New Zealand, I must admit, and much lower rates sort of elsewhere in those other countries.
Okay.
So overall, from the 5,600 women, we had about 314 who reported using cannabis in the 3 months before pregnancy.
Right.
And I suppose from a positive perspective, we saw that about a third of them had reported stopping that prior to conception, which is great. And a further 50% of the women stopped it during the first 15 weeks of pregnancy. And really, that's probably using it up until they found out they were pregnant and then stopping it at that point. So what we were left with was around one in five of those women,
yes,
or about 20%, 60 overall, who were still using cannabis at that first antenatal care appointment and continuing to use it, we think, from there on. And that's sort of how we broke down the different groups to try and get an understanding of what the potential harms might be.
And what were your big results?
Our key findings really were around the fact that women who continued using cannabis at that 15-week or that first antenatal care appointment overall had lower mean values for a range of neonatal outcomes, including birth weight, head circumference, birth length, and gestational age at birth. And the outcomes were much stronger among those women who reported using cannabis more than once a week compared to those who used it less than once a week in that first trimester. But
yes,
that provided us with stronger evidence to say that that higher dose was potentially more harmful, but also that the prolonged use, so the usage up until that first antenatal care appointment, was associated with more harms. Now, an important point to note, I suppose, from a positive perspective, is that when we looked at the women who had reported use only prior to conception or who had stopped cannabis in the first trimester,
yes,
we saw no evidence of harm.
Okay.
And so I think that's a really important message to highlight, or at least encourage or reassure people who are talking to women who've used it accidentally without knowing that they're pregnant, that,
yep,
we've got no indication that early use is necessarily harmful, and really it's about the continued use which is the primary concern here.
Yeah. I'm chatting today with Luke Reskowiak from the Robinson Research Institute. His co-authored research is available at mja.com.au, where it is, of course, open access. If you're enjoying this podcast, why not check out our other episodes at our archive at mja.com.au/podcasts. Back to our chat. Is this about actual cannabis, or is this about inhaling anything?
So you raise a really important question about what the underlying mechanisms here.
Yeah.
And we can hypothesise, and then we can look to sort of animal studies to try and work out what's going on. In terms of how cannabis use is used, we know that that's quite variable, whether that's smoked, whether that's eaten, whether it's vaped. Now, if we look at smoking, then we know that some women might use cannabis and roll it up in a cigarette together with nicotine. And so that's going to carry a range of adverse effects of the known harms of nicotine. The combustion of a cigarette or smoking, we know that's going to increase levels of carbon monoxide in the blood. And we know that that's one potential pathway that could cause harm in terms of removing sort of oxygen from the fetal circulation. But also when we talk about cannabis, we've got good data to show that it does cross the placenta. Of course,
right,
that raises concerns. If we can measure it in cord blood, it hangs around for a long time, so you can difficult to remove from the fetal circulation. It raises a number of concerns around what that exposure could be doing in terms of fetal development, both from a short-term perspective for the immediate pregnancy outcomes, but also longer term, given that that's critical period of things like brain development. And so really it raises a whole number of issues. So we don't have a 100% clear picture of what's going on, but certainly there's enough there that should generate concern.
What research do you think should be done going forward?
Again, that's quite interesting. There certainly needs to be an emphasis on looking at longer term impacts on child health and development. There still needs to be research around some of these fundamental sort of mechanisms. So what's actually going on? Is there one particular way in which cannabis is used that's more harmful than another? Understanding which component of cannabis is actually more harmful. So in this case, these are women that are using cannabis as a overall compound, which contains a whole number of different ingredients,
yes,
as opposed to medicinal cannabis, where you know you've got a better assessment of exactly what's in there. Lots of people have used animal studies and taken out those individual components and things like THC or CBD, things that we see in the medicinal sort of area, and have looked at what happens when you expose animals or human tissue to those particular compounds, and that's where we do generate some cause for concern there.
Yeah.
And it has been shown that those individual compounds do impair implantation and placental development in those experimental studies, and of course that's our link to saying, well, is that one of the potential drivers for what we're seeing in terms of adverse pregnancy outcomes?
What's the message for GPs here, Luke? What should they be talking to their pregnant patients about?
So really, I think we want women and healthcare professionals to be better informed about the potential harms of cannabis use during pregnancy. Of course, it's really important that we don't want to stigmatise women who've used cannabis, and that's not going to be conducive to providing good antenatal care. So really, cannabis use should be seen as another risk factor along with other substance use issues, including cigarette smoking and alcohol. Mm-hmm. And, of course, opening up conversations in optimally a non-judgmental manner is going to help facilitate discussions around cannabis use and provide the opportunity to understand individuals' perceptions surrounding use, at which point in time the information regarding potential risks can be provided. And really it's around ensuring that women have a better understanding of the sort of risk-benefit balance. And of course that's going to be highly individualised. So we can't necessarily just put out, you know, one message for everyone. But of course having better data around what the potential harms might be is really important to inform the general community around use, and then it's up to them to make decisions as to whether or not that's acceptable. One of the things that's not in the paper but is sort of a topical issue, so something recent that we're seeing internationally is increasing push of cannabis for the treatment of nausea and vomiting in pregnancy. And so that raises concerns across a number of levels. So there's been studies of cannabis dispensaries, particularly in the United States, which have shown that they're actively marketing or pushing their products to pregnant women.
Yikes.
As a safe alternative treatment for severe nausea and vomiting. Now, of course, what's really important to make clear here is that there's no data at all that this is a effective treatment to start with,
yes,
in that particular setting. And of course, balanced against that is evidence around potential harms.
Yeah.
So I think that's one of the key areas that we're going to see develop quite rapidly over the next few years in terms of people doing clinical trials in that particular space. And really, we've got to get a better understanding of whether or not there is any role in that particular setting, because that seems to be one of the key drivers around increasing uptake of cannabis that we're seeing, particularly internationally. We don't see a lot of it in Australia, and we're actually doing a study on nausea and vomiting, and I've put cannabis use in there. So
cool.
I'm hoping in a little bit of time we'll have some data on whether or not it's something that's common here. Certainly the international perspective is quite concerning, that as soon as it's sort of legalized, that you're seeing this push and heavy marketing of these particular products. And the natural tag that goes with cannabis is quite alluring to a lot of people compared to a pharmaceutical substance, which is seen to be either inferior or automatically not as safe. And so we've got a lot of unanswered questions that really need to be addressed in that particular space, and hopefully that's done sooner rather than later. I suspect it's going to be a rapidly sort of evolving field over the next few years.
Thanks for your time, Luke.
No worries. All right, thank you.
My thanks to my special guest today. Don't forget that all our podcasts are open access and available at www.mja.com.au/podcasts. Or you can subscribe to our feed at iTunes. My name's Kate Swanell, and we'll see you next time.